When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to BOLLandBranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, welcome to Behind the Lines. This is Gabrielle Jackson. It's been a while since we've spoken, but I really wanted to introduce you to a new podcast that we've made at The Guardian. It's called Breathless, The Death of David Dungay Jr. It's about the death of an Aboriginal man in custody. Now, these deaths in custody of Indigenous people in Australia are still happening. They're still happening so often. Even after the Royal Commission into the Aboriginal deaths in custody, we have not brought the numbers down. And that's why it's so important to listen to this podcast. This is an in-depth look at what happened to one man. And this is his family telling his story and their story. And they have been so open in sharing their story with us that I just feel it's a real privilege that they've shared this story with us and there's so much to learn from it. I'm going to play the first episode in full today on Behind the Lines. There are two more episodes available and I really encourage you to go to the podcast page and subscribe so you can listen to those too. It's called Breathless, The Death of David Dungay Jr.
The following program contains the name or names of Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander peoples who have since deceased. Please be warned. This program contains strong language and describes a death in custody of which is very graphic.
The most traumatic thing is seeing the footages of what happened. Like, that's something that's going to be playing in my mind forever. I think of that about at least once a day.
On the morning of December 29th, 2015, David Dungay Jr. started eating a packet of Tim Tams he bought from the buy-ups inside Long Bay Jail.
But back in his cell, David was told to stop eating his biscuits and was given just 2 minutes to comply with corrective service officers before they stormed his cell. What happened next was captured on video. David's nephew Paul and his mother Latona have seen it.
They storm the room, shields first, and tackle him to the ground. My uncle's saying, I can't breathe, stop, please, I'm trying to help you. They just continue saying, stop resisting Dungay. He's saying, I can't breathe. They're saying, oh, you're talking so you can breathe. And they start walking him towards the north end with his head down, and he still telling him that he can't breathe. And they say to him, stop spitting, you grub. He's spitting out the blood that they busted his mouth when they stormed the cell with the shield. That's how his nose got flat. They smashed his face with the shield. They've covered his mouth and you could hear, sort of like when you're in the water and you're trying to talk and water gets in your mouth, you could hear him saying, like, I can't breathe, and his voice is goggling water, but it's actually blood that they've busted his mouth. I heard that with my own ears, and so has all my family.
So he put his foot at the back of his rib and pressured down like he was a dead dog laying there.
So they pushed his neck on the mattress, but the mattress, if you push a mattress, it goes flat. So the mattress has gone flat and his neck is on the base, which is made out of timber, and it's got a little lip on it so the bed doesn't roll off.
And because you could see it clearly where they're pressing his neck down onto the bed very hard.
So his throat is now on that and they're stopping him from breathing. So they call in doctors and nurses to give him a sedative, which is what they gave him, is 10 milligrams of midazolam. Shortly after giving it to him, they say, "Dungay, we're going to leave you now. You're going to be riding here by yourself for the night. We're going to watch you." He doesn't respond. Year one guard go, "Oh, fuck, he's gone. Oh, fuck, he's gone."
To watch my son pass away in front of my eyes, it's devastating.
Just can only imagine that was going through his mind at the time and that day when I was doing that to my little brother. Is the death penalty in Australia? Because what I've seen happen to my brother, that's just like getting injection, death ray. And the thing is, now they're getting rude shock because, see, my mother, she's the most strongest black Aboriginal lady, ma. I see my mother go through a lot. She's a dad and mum in one. Me, Junior, Cynthia, and my older sister, Chrissy.
I'm Taylor Fuller.
And I am Miles Herbert.
Almost a year later, we're in downtown Kempsey outside the library, getting ready for a protest rally in Dungati country.
Why is this happening in Australia today? This march is meant for no one to die like my son.
I'm excited and I'd like the support of a lot of people to be here and really rock this town. It's a little town, let's rock it.
This is where we meet David's mum for the first time.
I'm Latona Dungay, I'm David Dungay Jr.'s mother from Kempsey area we live. We're under the Dungati Tribal Council. We're Dungati tribal people, and he was a Dungati warrior.
After the rally, Latona invites us back to her home.
Do you want to come in? Or?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Just warming it up here, so... And I'll take you around to Chrissy and Ernie and them. You know, they should be up by the time I take us out there, isn't they?
She shows us David's room, the room she was getting ready for him because he was due to be home in 3 weeks' time.
These are some photos. I've been walking up all these. This is what I had set for him when he got out.
Oh, this was David's room?
This is going to be his room when he got out.
Hmm.
On the dresser, she's laid out photos of David from his childhood, all the way up to his 18th birthday, just a year before he was incarcerated.
Next to the photos sit the last of David's possessions, sent back to Latona from Long Bay. A Bible with passages marked in red and a tea bag David would have used to make a cuppa the night he died.
So David lived here, right?
Yes, he lived here. He just used to get up, have his needle and... But he's running up that track here, up that hill.
But there's something you should really know about David, something that comes up in every conversation with Latona. Needles dominated David's life.
He was diagnosed with type 2 insulin-dependent diabetes when he was just 6 years old.
It's had a very, very fragile age to get diabetes.
Almost all cases of type 2 diabetes, 92% of them, occur in adults over 40. And managing your insulin is no easy task. So when David was diagnosed with this life-changing condition as a little boy, keeping him alive became Latona's full-time job.
Well, I was going to write a book on it because no one didn't know how, of the age of 6 to 7 years old, how to respond and how to bring up your child on with diabetes and how to treat it and how to make sure it's right up until he's old enough to do it himself. And that's what happened. He did it himself and he did look after himself.
Was he kind of self-managing?
Yeah, he self-managed and he knew what food to eat. He knew what food to buy because I took him shopping to learn to self-independence. So he'd know what I've got to grab. And if I forget something, he'd say, oh, mum, bang, there. So we was real with the shop, unless it was good.
Did he like your cooking?
Oh, yeah, he could smell it in the yard. Yeah, down Yowell Street, I used to put it up. He used to bring some children home that were hungry and street kids. And then I was thinking, oh, I can't say no. And then I'd make up a big batch of spaghetti bolognese for them, and I'd put the garlic and they could smell it up the hill. The boys and Dave with the football, what are you having for tea, Dave? We could smell it. Tricky the boy. We coming down with you. Okay, Mum said she put enough on. Yeah, so he'd bring them down and they'd all overfeed and then they'd go off and play again and he knew to get home before dark.
What is he like when he's high, when he has too much sugar?
He's got to go and play it off, go and do something, get active. And when it goes down a bit, he just comes back and has his healthy meal, like salads or a meat, white meat. And, yeah, that's how it goes. He just builds it back up again. He knows when he's going down a bit, he'll come and grab a mum, I'm hungry again. Bang, he gets that carbohydrates in him and vitamins, he's back into gear again.
Did you know when David was on a low?
He did know when he was low, and he knew when he was high. And he knew at the time of his death, and the only thing that I could think of was that he was going low. He was going low to eat food to keep alive, but without going into a coma. So I think about those things, see, because I was his nurse and diabetes educator, and I'm thinking of quite a lot of what they've missed out on, what they've done for my baby boy. And that's why I still say today that biscuit, they killed my son by taking his biscuit away.
Do you think that David's death should have been preventable?
Yes, it should have been. We cried out that many times. It could have been preventable. He could have been alive today.
So they start CPR, not really straight away. They got him onto the floor and they put this tube in his mouth to suck all the blood and that he swallowed that he was choking on prior when he was trying to split out his blood, and they told him, stop splitting. So there's a safety cap on it. You can see it clearly in the footage. There's a safety cap. And you just take the safety cap off first to suck it. They've shoved this safety cap straight down my uncle's throat, you know, probably pushing all the biscuits he ate and all of that stuff and pressuring it in and blocking it in to choke him. So they've basically shoved this thing, probably about a 50-cent piece thickness, down his throat and then pulled it out. They're trying to suck everything out. Nothing's coming out because the safety cap's on. So then they pull it out and the doctor falls out of his mouth and the doctor goes, where'd that come from? Where'd that come from? And the screw goes, it's a safety cap. You didn't take the safety cap off. And after trying CPR, the ambulance come and then you hear the guard say, oh, the ambulance are here now, let them take over. And then it stops.
What is it like in that room after you've seen the footage?
It's just silence, like everyone in the room, it's just silent. No one's talking. We're just all looking at each other and it's basically silent. And like everyone's ready to cry. When I watched it at the end of it, they say to him, breathe, Dungay. Breathe, Dungay. Instead of letting him breathe at the start, you know?
had to give Mum the bad news. It's pretty fucking hot. What was that?
Oh, just my son knocked on the door, then I walked out, and then
Mummy is, and I told her, she didn't want to believe it.
I knocked on the door and he told me that, and I just walked away and walked in the bathroom, locked the door. So I'm a funny person. I like to cry on my own. I just screamed out to sweet Jesus, why did you take my son?
Oh, fuck, no, man. Yeah. I started to grab Mum. Yeah, and just hold her up. And just let her know that I'm there. But yeah, no one else. That's the hardest thing I ever done in my life. I was telling my mum, little brother died.
Why has he gone? Sweet Jesus. Only you know, why did they take my baby? Is this really happening? Is this real?
After holding onto David's memory for so long, Latona wants to let his spirit go with a smoking ceremony outside of Kempsey Jail.
Well, my sister and brother are here, helping me through this too as well. And bless him, my son. We'll have to stand.
I'm in no news, mate. Stand in, brother. Boy, we gave a thing to her, Marlborough. No, to do him, no, to. To the mother. Come into the smoke, he says. Grandfather, Durham, a great creator, father of all fathers, maker of all seen and unseen. Bless sister now and give her a spirit to call her the spirit of her son to take him back and be released into the dream time, into the hands of the ancestors. Naja tung naja. Through the mother. Thank you, sister.
Okay, thank you.
When the smoking ceremony finishes, Latona is ready to release David's spirit from the cell he was first incarcerated in.
We're at the cemetery, and we just come from the Kempsey Jail cells to free his spirit, bring him back to his grave, and let him realise that he's got to be at rest, and I will not give up, and he shall know that.
Now, do you feel like you can move on towards better things after doing that at the prison?
Yes, I find that nothing's going to slow me up now to get justice, because I felt there was something in the way, and I forgot that I've got to free my son's soul from where he's first incarcerated. With all the grieving and that, and now I'm glad that I've done it, and I feel much pressure off of me into fighting for justice for my baby. And he'll always be my baby son, to the end. There's a time I might have to rest in peace, and I hope I could rest in peace and get justice at, before I leave this earth. And I hope you rest in peace now, son. I'm not going to give up.
This poem was written by the late David Dungo. It's a dedication and a memory to David. Just a breath away. These days I spend wandering amongst the shadows, in a body that is not mine, lost in darkness of memories that ceased to exit long ago, suffocating slowly inside a dream that is just another war. Sitting on the edge of silent escape, watching a wounded reflection paralysed in an illusion of fear, until the cruelty of rage dissipates under my skin. With a fragile heart that keeps slipping away, our two tribe worlds collide, like a stardust exploding into a million pieces. While each day is still a birth of hope, and a nightmare is just a breath away, the pain of doubt lingers in the shattered moments of reality and spiral into a vertigo of desperation. With the struggle abandoned to inexistence and trust scared beyond the circle of fire, I emerge like a butterfly from a coma of comfort and gradually fell from my dream. Still breathing, still wondering, waiting for it to end.
Thank you to Latona Dungay, David's mother, his brother Ernie, and his nephew Paul for speaking with us in this episode. Next time on Breathless, as Ernie and Paul prepare to lay David to rest, we start investigating the use of sedatives in custody. Subscribe now, wherever you get your podcasts, and let other people know about us by rating and reviewing the show.
Thanks for listening. That was the first episode of Breathless, The Death of David Dungay Jr. There are two more episodes of Breathless available. You can go to theguardian.com to find it or to your favourite podcasting app. Go there now and subscribe.
Tired of ads barging into your favourite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Brought to you by Lexus. Some things do more than their stated functions, because exceptional things inspire you to do exceptional things. To this select list, we add the all-new Lexus GX. With its exceptional capability, you'll see possibilities you never knew existed, sending you far outside your comfort zone. But as much as the GX challenges you, it also spoils you. Its intuitive technology and luxurious features mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Live up to it. The all-new Lexus GX.